It's another one. I got that juice, juice. New AP. She got that juice, juice. She got that squeeze. She got that wet, wet. I'm on them skis. I got that drip, drip. I'm overseas.
D-R-I. Here we are on the juice today. It is a Tuesday night. We have a lot to talk about in the sports world. I recorded a podcast last week that I really liked, but my mic wasn't working. But it should be working now. We're going to start with an interview with one of my friends, a guy who most people don't know. Most people do know. But Cal Klesmet, second time guest, Cal, is that correct?
Yeah, second time on here.
Yeah, so most people know Cal tore his ACL this summer during AAU basketball, and it was tough. I mean, not only for the Nina basketball program, for Cal himself, for his family, but I mean, just for me, you know, Cal's a friend of mine, and to see, you know, someone who cares so much about the game of basketball, and for that injury to happen, which is an injury that is very prominent in sports, and we all know how much it sucks. But Cal, I'm going to ask you a few questions today. We're going to kind of dive deep into your process so far with the injury and, you know, how you're doing right now and just the outlook of the team this year. Are you good with that?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for it all, Juice.
Okay. So, Cal, first question is, we're gonna get it out. So what was that first week like for you? You know, after you tore it, you asked the doctors, you know, what's the diagnosis? And they said, you have an ACL injury, you're most likely going to be out for the year. And, oh, by the way, what's the timetable? I mean, when do you think you could be back? I don't know, I'm just kind of wondering that.
Yeah, so the timetable is 9 months, you know, which puts me at, I'd say late April, if everything goes accordingly.
Okay.
So, yeah, so obviously, you know, probably, that season, you know, unless a miracle happens, but, you know.
Yeah. I know you're doing well with your rehab, but basically my question is, what was that first week like for you after you found out? Like, how are you able to just, what was that, how are you doing with what happened and what you learned?
Yeah, so, you know, basically happened late July, second to last AAU game, which is just a heartbreaker knowing you made it that far. And then, you know, just second to last game, it all just goes to nothing, you know. And so, first week, you know, you do it, you know, you go down, and then you can't move. I couldn't move the first week. My whole leg was just basically just sitting there. But then as the month goes on, which I didn't know, I found out I tore it in August, which, so that's about 3 weeks after I actually did it. So I had no idea. We were just praying it was hopefully just a torn meniscus or sprained something, you know, for those 3 weeks from July 22nd to like August 15th. So, you know, I mean, I'm walking around fine, like, the whole time between them. So you're just praying that there's a little chance that you didn't tear your ACL, that you just tore your meniscus or sprained your ACL or something like that. So, you know, it wasn't fun, but, you know, it is what it is.
All right, Cal, I guess my next question is, like, how are you able to cope with, like, learning some news like that? Like, what were you able to do to try to take your mind off things and just how was that like for you?
Yeah. I mean, you get the news that you tear your ACL, and obviously as an athlete, you know what that means, like basically out for a year. So, you know, when you hear that, it immediately, you just feel like everything's just taken away from you. And then, you know, like everything you worked for, all that hard work, all the blood, sweat, tears, basically just means for nothing. And then, you know, time passes on, and which for me, this probably was the hardest part, was trying to find something, you know, to do to take your mind off it, because basketball for me really is the only thing, like, just on my mind 24/7. So knowing that that's gone from you, you know, it was pretty hard to deal with for me, for myself, especially, you know, late at nights, you know, you're sitting there knowing you have a torn ACL. But through the day, you know, hanging out with friends, I'd say. I mean, basically just doing anything to take your mind off it, just not being there by yourself where you just have a lot in your mind or a lot to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, at least we had the fantasy draft, you know, to take your mind off things.
Right,
that you were always looking forward to that, which was good. I guess another question, this is kind of an obvious one, but do you think this injury will affect how you play? Because, I mean, when you tear your ACL, the other athletes are kind of like worrying they'll tear it again, and they try to play a little more conservative. What do you think you'll do at once you get healthy and ready to play?
I think, you know, that's a tough question because I don't really know what that will entail. Calm down when I'm ready to play. I don't know how it will feel or, you know, how it will happen. So I think I'll be more conservative, but at the same time, you can't really be conservative in what I do. Like, I can't. I'm going to have to go out there and put 100% like I was before my injury. And I think that this will just make me bigger, stronger, faster, you know, which is what you have to hope for and what you have to do to become better in a situation like this. So,
All right, Cal, I guess my final question for you would be, how do you think, I mean, the Neenah basketball program is still a storied program, still a great, great program in the state. How do you think they'll fare without you? You were supposed to be one of our best players this year, and you know, now without you, that we got to adapt. And how do you think we're going to fare without you?
I think we'll just be just fine. You know, we're still take state contenders, and that's not just to me. I think everybody in the state should see that. We still have a D1 athlete in Ice and Carter, who's very under the radar, you know, could easily go D2 in my mind. And we got Eli and JJ, who, I mean, right there, just Eli and JJ. People don't know them, but they will this season. I can promise you that. And then, you know,
yeah.
You got Corso, who, in my opinion, could easily be the top shooter in the state percentage-wise. I mean, come to open gyms, and that guy just does not miss shots, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't really hit rim, to be honest. It's actually absurd what he does. And we got it. We're deep, you know. We got a few juniors that could step up. Matt Young. Still playing football, go Rockets.
Still a valuable player to have on the bench, like with a Matt guy like
for that. Sure. Oh my, yeah, that's six man. Could easily be six man of the year contention, but you know, this injury for me, I'll have to step up more, you know, vocally and help old guys that need help, like a Corso, you know, who will have a bigger role than what he was going to if I was playing. So, you know, it'll be good for us, and I don't know, I feel like we'll surprise a lot of people because, you know, when I went down, a lot of people maybe doubted us or said we don't have a chance anymore. So it'll be fun this year.
Yeah, I'm so excited for the season to start. I mean, I'm fully invested into the Rocket football program right now, but the season could end at any moment. We're in the playoffs, but, man, come late November when the basketball season starts, I am fully invested. And
for sure.
I'm, Cal, again, really, really disappointed that you couldn't play this year, but – you know, I know you'll be back stronger than ever. Remember what I told you after I found out? I said, you'll be back stronger than ever. And I think you will. I think you know that. But, I mean, I hope to talk to you again on here. Maybe an update on how the season's going when we're in the middle of it. But thanks for your time. And, you know, it'll get better soon.
Sure, Bruce. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yep. All right. We're back here on the Juice. Good interview with Cal there. We had some technical difficulties with the... you know, we rarely get kicked out of the interview. We have a new interview process. I'm not just calling him on, you know, the old Snapchat. We're talking to him through Anchor. The audio sounded good, just to, you know, technical difficulties. We'll try to figure that out eventually, but it got kind of cut out. So it'll sound a little weird. Like, it'll sound like our interview got cut, and then it'll, like, randomly get back into it, and it'll sound a little, kind of like, mechanical, but really it's just like our audio got cut out and we had to like ask questions in increments. But anyways, let's get past that. So I made a podcast last week. I touched on this a little bit, but I made one last week and my mic just did not work, and I never tested my mic, and apparently it was never going to ever work. But I really liked my podcast last week. It was a little short, so I'm going to basically talk about what I talked about last week and kind of add it to my interview with Cal. And first off, we're going to start with Troll Juice. Now, if everyone knows Troll Juice, I basically go in on these sports pundits that think they deserve a job over me on, like, FS1 or ESPN. Now, there's this new guy on the show First Things First. It's in the early morning slot for FS1. His name's Chris Broussard, and he is he's an NBA expert. I really like listening to him when he talks about NBA, and now he's replacing Brandon Marshall, which is a great move. Chris Broussard definitely deserves a job over Brandon Marshall. And, you know, he's forced to talk about, you know, NFL, too. And I'm not saying he doesn't know stuff in the NFL, but there's a few things that he misses. And he's, again, better than Brandon Marshall, but he's forced to talk about the NFL, not just NBA, which is what he used to do. I mean, the NFL takes about 60% of these shows, especially during NFL season. So, Chris Broussard, this was after the Titans-Bills Monday Night Football game, and Broussard was talking about the final 4th-and-1 call by Sean McDermott where Josh Allen tripped and didn't make it 1 yard. Now, 99 times out of 100, Josh Allen's going to get that. He's 6'5", big player. He's and honestly, any quarterback. The QB sneak never fails, it seems like. But Josh Allen tripped, and he did not make it. Just unfortunate. But right here, we have Chris Broussard talking about that play and just kind of his analysis of it.
That's Josh Allen Smith, or Josh Allen Slip, but it got blown up on the left side because of the pressure of Tennessee. I wonder why. Could it be because Buffalo's Pro Bowl left tackle, Taylor Lewan, was injured? If he's there, maybe that doesn't happen, but he's out. So you got a second stringer that Josh Allen's trying to go behind, and you see he got destroyed. Dawkins, whoever that is. All right, so...
Okay, a lot to unpack here. First off, Taylor Lewan did get injured in the first half. Taylor Lewan was out the rest of the game, Pro Bowl left tackle, great player. But Taylor Lewan does not play for the Bills. He plays for the Titans, which makes me wonder, did Chris Broussard potentially just only watch the second half of this game? That had to have been. It's either that or he just wasn't paying attention the entire time. And he obviously doesn't know who Taylor Lewan is. That's just a given. Which I guess isn't terrible, but like he's a Pro Bowler. You got him. I feel like every pundit who's on TV over me should know who Taylor Lewan is. Anyways, Taylor Lewan is just not a Buffalo Bill, and it makes me wonder. Chris Broussard had to have been like, let's say he only watched the second half. These pundits are supposed to be watching the entire game. The way they talk about these games and the way they ramble on about their analysis, they should be watching the entire game. I'm telling you right now, if I was getting paid to talk sports, I would watch as many NFL games as possible, start to finish. Which means, if I was on TV, I'd be getting paid a lot of money. I would make sure that in my house, I would have at least 4 TVs, and I'd have NFL Sunday Ticket and Red Zone going on at the same time, and I'm able to see what's going on in each game, so I'm able to get my full analysis the next day. Chris Broussard on this Monday night game, that's just one game. All you got to do is watch it from start to finish. I can watch football start to finish. He definitely saw on the bottom that, you know, whatever, Taylor Lewan is going to be out the rest of the game with an injury. Maybe it didn't say what team he was on. Maybe he could only barely see his jersey. But anyways, Chris Broussard saw, oh, Taylor Lewan. I've heard of that name, Pro Bowl left tackle. I don't know who he plays for, but Taylor Lewan is out. Let me see if I can add that into my analysis of the final play, because he is a Josh Allen, he's a Josh Allen supporter. For starters, not to mention the fact that Taylor Lewan doesn't play for the Bills, but also, if Taylor Lewan did play for the Bills, and let's say they did have a backup left tackle in for Josh Allen's QB sneak, do you think that left tackle is really going to have that much effect on a QB sneak unless he just doesn't even get a hand on the edge rusher, which the Deion Dawkins, who was the left tackle on that play, he didn't block great, but it's a QB sneak. All you have to do is really get in front of the guy, and he did. So he didn't even do that bad of blocking, so that's another bad analysis by Broussard. But anyways, you have to have done an absolutely terrible job if you are a left tackle and you cannot properly block a QB sneak. A QB sneak is on 4th and inches or 4th and 1. All they need is a yard. You just need to get a hand on that O lineman, and the QB has to literally lean forward and get that first down. Josh Allen slipped. He slipped. That is literally the entire reason that play did not work. I'm a firm believer that Sean McDermott made the right call going for it on 4th and 1. Anybody who says they should have kicked the field goal is just not correct. They should have went for it. Josh Allen, not again, 99 times out of 100, he's a big quarterback. You're giving it to your best player. He's going to get that first down. He just slipped. That's what happened. But, like, again, I don't know how these pundits are on TV. Some of them, I feel like whenever I watch them, some of them don't even get when they talk about games, some of them don't even watch the game, and they just have to think of stuff off the top of their head. It happens with Colin Cowherd all the time. He'll say things like, oh, the Packers, like, they won the game, but they were outplayed in the second half. And I'm like, no, they didn't. They either put their offense in total park or they just did not get outplayed. It's just stuff like that. It really makes no sense to me how it doesn't make sense they're on the TV because they worked very hard to get on TV and get to where they are with the education that they got and how they work their way up into the system. They start, most of them start with minor league baseball games, announce those, and kind of work their way up to where they're at now. But when you're there, I feel like you have to put in, I feel like it's such a privilege to be talking about sports and getting paid seven figures. I'm talking about sports, getting paid nothing on a school night. Like, but I still like doing it, and I probably watch more NFL than any of these guys, which makes me wonder. I mean, call me up, FS1. Please be my guest and call me up. But it really makes no sense. There's some of this analysis that I hear from these pundits, it really makes me wonder. And the worst part is, I don't think anybody called Chris Broussard out on that. It actually reminds me of when Stephen A. Smith said, after he was giving his pregame analysis for a Chargers-Chiefs game, and he said, Hunter Henry, who was out for the season at the time, or he was on IR, I think, and hadn't played a single snap the entire season, he was going to be being guarded by Derek Johnson, who retired the year before. So two guys that literally had never played, literally weren't going to be on the field in that game, said they were going to be going up against each other. Kind of funny. And then after that, his analysis was like, I'm looking at Tyreek Hill. I'm looking at Patrick Mahomes. Like, yeah, very smart. I totally... You're going to be looking at them. I guarantee it. They do play for the team. So, yeah. Bad analysis by Chris Broussard, which is a shame because I really am a fan of him. But, man, maybe it's really just NBA for that guy because he's really smart in NBA. But after that, ugh, yikes. From what I've heard, not very good. Okay. So, first things first. Just had to get Troll Juice out of the way. Love that segment. Now, we are going on to a segment that I'm very excited about. It's called Juice's Hypothetical Pick for Parlay. Now, some of us are gamblers, not me, but anyways, a lot of people that may be listening to this show, maybe a lot of people that want to, that are potentially listening to the show, a lot of adults, they dabble with the gambling game, which is fine. And I hypothetically made a parlay. This is, again, a segment I made last time. I hypothetically made a parlay, because, again, I don't gamble. I'm just, you know, throwing hypotheticals out here that may or may not be true. It was a parlay. I do money lines. I did Packers money line, Buccaneers money line. Those were my two locks, and then I mix in two upsets. My two upsets were Falcons, who were not favored, money line, and then Colts money line. I actually was very confident in that one. They were 4.5-point underdogs. So, picked those two, all four, all hit. I hypothetically won $60, and it is hypothetically in my Venmo account right now. So, a lot of good luck on there. I thought, hey, if I'm going to be right like this, might as well share my gambling wisdom with the world here and the 20-ish people that are listening to me right now. Let's start it out. So, I'm going to go on the old app here and just see what the lines are, what the spreads are, and just kind of see what parlays I can make for you. Hypothetically, I'm not betting. I'm not a big bettor. Let's go to football. NFL. Now, here we go. Right away, I'm looking at the Packers and the Cardinals. +6.5. +6.5. Packers underdogs. It might go up to 7. I don't know if they've figured out that Alan Lazard's not playing now, along with probably Davante Adams. But +6.5 for the Packers, I'm telling you this right now, I just have a really, really gut feeling. This is not even me being a Packer fan. I just feel like the Packers defense is playing so well. I think they can really rattle Kyler Murray. I mean, the past 2 weeks, Packers defense has been great. Mind you, against not tremendous offenses, but if that's neither here nor there. Kyler Murray hasn't played... I shouldn't say hasn't played the strongest defenses, but I feel like he's got to be due for one of those like games. He's still a young quarterback. I feel like he's really due for one of those games where he just gets rattled against a really good opponent, and this is a really good opponent in the Green Bay Packers. It's 6-1 versus 7-0. It's a big game. It's primetime football. Can Kyler Murray finally, you know, just have that one game where he gets rattled and he just doesn't have his best performance? He potentially could. And on top of that, Aaron Rodgers is 6-0 without Davante Adams. I'm not saying the Packers are better without Davante Adams, but Aaron Rodgers has had some really good games without Davante Adams. One of them being his greatest game statistically, 2019 against the Raiders. That was without Davante Adams. He threw for over 400 yards, 5 touchdowns. I think he ran for one. I think it was 4 touchdowns and he ran for one. Yeah. And then on top of that, a perfect passer rating. And then the next week, played against the Chiefs, had a very good game against them too, over 300 yards, 3 touchdown passes. And then last year, again, went undefeated without him, beat the Saints in New Orleans, had a great game. And then he had a really good game in Lambeau against the Falcons without Davante Adams. I mean, I really think that Aaron Rodgers will be fine without Davante Adams. It's just whether him being fine can create enough offense to combat with the Cardinals' offense, which is why the defense needs to step it up. But I am going to go Packers money line, which is +205. Not me. You. I'm looking at you. Not me. I don't gamble. Looking at you. +205. Packers money line. Mark it down. That's for the first part of the parlay. Now let's look through the other ones. Do I have any locks here? Because that's my upset. We gotta think of a lock here. The Falcons are favored against the Panthers. Well, we might go back to that. Titans, Colts. I think one of my other locks is gonna be Bengals over Jets. The spread is -10. That doesn't matter here, but I will take the money line though. You have to put in one lock to get the best bang for your buck. And I'm not going to go like the obvious ones like Rams over Texans or like, you know, Bills over Dolphins. Those are a little too obvious and I won't be getting my best bang for my buck. I'm going to go with a spread that's a little closer for a better money line. Bengals over Jets. The Jets are going to be without Zach Wilson. Their offense is such a mess and so is their defense. And the Bengals are hot right now. So, yeah, add that for the lock. Bengals over Jets. No real explanation there need to be made. Man, that Steelers-Browns game. Looking at that one. All right, how about this one? All right, so Cowboys over Vikings. That's spread. That money line is not big. It's -150 for the Cowboys. I don't really see how the Vikings can win this game. The Cowboys are playing such good football off a bye, and on top of that, their defense, while very opportunistic with their turnovers, they're going up against Kirk Cousins in primetime, and no need to even speak about Kirk Cousins in primetime and how shitty he is. So we can say Cowboys over Vikings. I can say that confidently. We'll add that to the parlay along with the Bengals over the Jets and the Packers over the Cardinals. So those are my two locks are in Cowboys over Vikings. Kirk Cousins, I expect to throw at least a pick, which the Cowboys always capitalize on. I think Dak Prescott's going to play too. He's got that, I think it's ankle. He had a boot on after the Patriots game. I think he should be good. He's off a bye. Yeah, Cowboys over Vikings, no doubt about it. There's three. And then the last one. I'm going to go Steelers over Browns. The Browns are really slumping right now, and without Baker Mayfield, which really doesn't make a huge difference, he's not that much better than Case Keenum. The Steelers also off a bye. Najee Harris, I think, could definitely eat this Browns defense up. And not that the Browns defense isn't great, but I think it's a little overrated. And, I mean, that's their front seven. They got Myles Garrett. But not really a lot of star power on that front seven, and then they got Denzel Ward, and I actually like their secondary. Obviously, the moves they made, getting John Johnson, and still having Denzel Ward, great, good secondary. But I think Najee Harris could definitely keep up his hot streak with the great games that he's been able to play. So yeah, Steelers are underdogs at +3.5 money line +170. So we'll add that to the parlay. Making it a, can't really tell you the buyout right now because it's not showing up. We'll get there. Let's see if we can get the best bang for our buck here. So, Green Bay, mark it down. Cincinnati, mark it down. we'll go Dallas. And then lastly, a Steelers money line. So Green Bay over Arizona, Cincinnati over the Jets, Dallas over Minnesota, Pittsburgh over Cleveland. Bet 10, win $166. That's a good payout. That's a good bang for your buck. See, the thing about the Cardinals and the Packers one is just like it's still a 6-1 team going up against a 7-0 team. And the 6-1 team is underdogs by 6.5. Just seems a lot to me. Even though Devonta Adams will be out, you still got Aaron Rodgers on the team. So, let's get it done. Mark it down. You. Talking to you. Alright, cool. That should do it for this episode. I really don't have much to hit on. I was going to have a segment dedicated to the Packers and Cardinals game, but I kind of gave you my analysis. I kind of gave you my analysis in the hypothetical pick four parlay. But I guess my keys to the game, if I should add something else, my keys to the game really is other players just got to get open. MVS might be back. Lazard is not going to play. But if MVS and Lazard don't play, man, you got a wide receiver room of Equanimeous St. Brown, Randall Cobb, Juwan Winfrey, and Amari Rodgers. That's just four guys that, like, that makes you really happy that the worst part of the Cardinals' defense is their secondary. I mean, their corners aren't anything special. So Aaron Rodgers might have to take advantage of that. I don't see their running game. I mean, the running game has been pretty bad the past couple weeks, and I don't see that really changing against a very good Cardinals front seven. So that will be tough to get Aaron Jones going if the passing game just isn't working without Devontae and Lazard and possibly Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And the defense, just play the way they've been playing. We don't have Jair, obviously, but it hasn't been a huge issue the past couple weeks without him. Eric Stoltz has been playing well. I actually thought Rasul Douglas had a pretty good game on Sunday, which is great. And then we still got our two great safeties in the back end with Darnell and Adrian Amos. Will be a good game. I'm very excited for it. But it will be a tough one, especially since it's in Arizona. And I was listening to the radio today, and something crazy is when the Packers play in Arizona, weird things happen. I mean, you go back to, not a lot of people remember this game, but you go back to 2009, Aaron Rodgers' first playoff game. The highest scoring playoff game in NFL history. Aaron Rodgers threw a pick, I believe it was a pick six. His first playoff throw, a pick six, went on to throw for over 400 yards and lose in overtime to a non-called face mask. In which he fumbled the ball and God, what was that dude's name that returned it? It doesn't matter, but we lost that game. Aaron, the face mask was not called. But not to mention that, and on top of that, the Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary game to Jeff Janis. Jeff Janis had over 140 yards receiving in that game, and Jared Aberderis was second, I believe. Like, he caught a touchdown. I don't know how many yards he had. Those two stepped up, and that's what's going to have to happen on Thursday. There's going to have to be an unsung hero. I don't know if it's going to be Equanimeous St. Brown. I don't know if it's going to be Randall Cobb. Don't know if it's going to be Amari Rodgers, but one of them has to do it if we got to win this game. And that's what Aaron Rodgers said in his interview, that people are going to have to step up. And I'm very excited to see if that happens. So, that's, I guess, the best analysis I can give you for the rest of the time. Looks like we will be done for today. Chance, take us out.
Thirsty, trying to choose. I mean, I know I'm pretty cool. My nitty bag, my kitty boots. I got the juice, I got the juice.
Geno, Chatham's on. Foolie's glad I'm on. Even my haters kinda glad I'm on. Rest in peace to my